Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello, you are listening to the C-Squared podcast with me, Holly, and my co-host, Curtis. Yeah, he's co-host now. I'm in charge. And today we are here with the amazing, extraordinary Joey Diabolic. I can't speak. This is going well. Never mind. And we're going to talk about imagery and visualizers, videos, all sorts of wonderful creative stuff. So, Joey, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for that intro. It's very cool.
I have a question for Holly though. What's your new host name? Since you're like a host, you gotta have like a fancy host name.
No idea.
HR, that's your new name.
Okay, brilliant. What's a human resources is just my nickname right now.
But I'm going to steal this right now for a second, get it back on the rails since I've already thrown Holly off. So, Joey, as the very first thing, what we always do is we ask the guests for a nutshell version of who they are and what they do. So can you, for the listeners, give a very nutshell but detailed version of who you are and what you do?
All right, I'll do my very best. Might disappoint a few, but that's fine. I'm a multi-instrumentalist. I write, compose, produce, engineer, design, do pre-production, post-production for pretty much everything that I do, which is for the most part like industrial metal, though kind of blending in other genres, whether it's a subgenre of metal or outside of the rock universe sort of thing. I get a lot of comparisons to Nine Inch Nails, which is very flattering and I'll totally take it. Trent, if you're listening, hey, what's up? But yeah, I kind of, for the past couple of years, have been focusing more in kind of like the 80s horror sort of idea space, I guess, or the landscape and everything like that. Produce or self-produced a box set through Soundways. It's 4 EPs of music over the span of 2 years. A good amount of covers from the 80s and 90s for bands and songs that I thought were kind of pinnacle to metal or horror film soundtracks, as well as composing music that was inspired by Nightmare on Elm Street, which is my favorite horror franchise. And I relocated to Los Angeles, California from Newburgh, New York.
Nice. So, First question I have, I know it's not part of Holly's question, but I'm going to kind of veer off for 1 second. She can do the next question. But so can you kind of go over, like you used to be called Martyr Art. So why the name change from Martyr Art to Joey? Well, I mean, you were already, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. So Joey Diabolic was actually my nickname in high school. Yeah. I had a band in like 8th or 9th grade and it was called Diabolic, and someone just kind of was just like, they read my guitar case, I had my name on it and then Diabolic underneath it, and they're like, oh, Joey Diabolic. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. So that was my nickname, Joey Diablo, like that was kind of like the whole thing. I was then in a band called Dislocate where that was kind of still used. Martyr Art was actually a name I came up with for like freelance design in like 2003 2004. Then I thought it was kind of cool. I'm like, oh, it'd be cool if I kind of like rotated the cross sideways so it kind of be like my interpretation of a yin yang symbol, you know, symbolism, which didn't really translate. And the way that the letters were set up, it was always read in reverse. So Art Martyr. And then there's just other things. It's like people thought it was like a religious Christian music. And I'm like, yeah, I got to do something with this. But at the same time, I was like, I need to keep making music. And for right now, until I decide on what would work best, I'm just going to use that name. And I was also at that point, as Martyr Art, trying to do more of like,
I guess man behind the curtain sort of thing. It's like Martyr Art's the idea of a band, but it's actually just dude. Yep. And then with Joy Diabolik, it's just like, I kind of came to the realization, you know, kind of late in the game that like, the way I kind of operate and work with other musicians, it's like, I'm more in the line of like being a solo artist.
Yeah.
So I just kind of had to recalibrate things. And to be honest, it's made the most sense across the board for everything. And I'm having fun with it. So.
Cool. Awesome. So that brings to Holly.
Cool. I mean, you've kind of answered a little bit of my question anyway, but I guess sort of how did the Joy Diabolik project in its sort of current form, how did that begin? Like, did you just sort of get up one day and change, switch over, like the branding and everything? Or did you sort of wrap up Martyr Art and then move over to what you're doing now?
Yeah, it was a combination of things. I thought I kind of hit a wall with the last Martyr Art album, which was called Fear Faith Machines, which was really kind of a different release for me musically, because I actually played and recorded live drums and I made it as an album kind of as if it came out in the late 90s, early 2000s. So like when Slipknot came out or when they broke big and like when Korn and stuff like that, when they were kind of at the top or like really bursting through the scene, you know, especially through pop culture. But then, you know, my love for old school Machine Head and Pantera, and then kind of dipping back into when I was in my teens with my previous band Dislocate, which was like kind of like post-hardcore new metal with thrash. So, you know, did that. That kind of ran its course. Some things happened in my personal life that was like kind of forced me to reprioritize what makes me happy and what I want to do with my life. And, you know, it affected my art, it affected my music. And then it just was kind of a natural progression. Actually, the first two Through Soundwave EPs were originally released as Martyr Art, while I was still trying to figure out like, what should I change the name to? And then I was just like, why don't I just go back to like, what it's, you know, the basic sort of thing. You know, sometimes you kind of just need to do a reset in that regard. So I was like, let me try out this Joy Diabolik thing. And it just kind of made sense, especially doing the Halloween sort of 3-minute version of a audio film. and then doing the Nightmare on Elm Street two-part EP series with Mama Doom, Diwali of Mama Doom. It just kind of made sense. It's like, okay, Joy Diabolik, it works musically, it works for my art, and it's like, it's my nickname, and it kind of goes with me and my personality. I'm just kind of a dork.
So, Holly, did you have a follow-up on that before we go into the next one?
No, that's fine.
Cool. So let's talk about visuals. So how do you use visuals to make your brand and style stand out?
To be honest, like I never really thought about it. Like as a kid growing up, you know, you'd like everybody that loves music or loves art, you'll find a piece of art or a cover art and you just kind of pore over it and you're like trying to figure out how they did that and what inspired them to use that piece of artwork and how did they come up with that concept for a logo design? And then you're reading all the liner notes and everything like that. So as a kid, subconsciously, especially like the White Zombie Last Exorcisto album, like that, like, I'm like, what the hell am I looking at? Cause that was like also, that was like multimedia album artwork. Cause you're mixing all these different styles of art to, you know, as part of the presentation.
What like on the inside? I don't remember what the cover of that looks like. I'm gonna have to Google this, but you explain. I don't remember what looks like. Oh, he's gonna give us a live demonstration. You got it handy.
Oh yeah. Had okay, this since I was a young lad.
Oh, that one, yeah. I couldn't remember.
It's all hand drawn by Rob Zombie.
Nice. Oh, I see.
And then it was kind of like photography.
Oh, nice.
and artwork and stuff like that. And he pretty much took that into like his solo album, the after they did Astro Thief, but Hellbilly Deluxe, which to me is kind of like really like the end of White Zombie, because after that his sound definitely changed. But yeah, but like that sort of artwork. And then when I started doing things on my own with Martyr Art initially, like Nine Inch Nails was pretty much like my only reference point, because I was still exploring that side of the subgenre of music and just kind of, you know, tiptoeing in, I guess. But then just the way that everything is presented and visualized, and like a story that's kind of told with his branding and artwork and the halos, which is how he marks all of his releases, I thought that was incredibly interesting, and it was very much inspiring. So that kind of pushed me to be a better graphic designer. And then it's like, how do I apply that to my music? So Martyr Art was like a litmus test for me trying to figure out how to do things. And by the time I had switched over to Joey Diabolik, I was pretty much had a solid handle on how to do things. And I'm like, all right, how do I elevate it at this point? You know, what if I'm going with this sort of horror sort of metal 80s vibe, how do I, you know, facilitate that graphically and visually? So then, you know, the type style and the blood splatter and, you know, the music, and then like the custom guitar pick.
Oh, nice.
It's a 2mm because I ripped through my other guitar picks too quick. So, but yeah.
Cool. So just to clarify, so basically you kind of got inspired by Nine Inch Nails, Rob Zombie, and you kind of took that whole thing and you made it your own.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. I mean, obviously like early Metallica albums and like the Sepultura illustrated covers, like Beneath the Remains and Arise, like, and Chaos AD and everything. It's like there's so much detail and it's conveying this entire story. And then you listen to the music and you're like, how does it fit in? And sometimes it's like super on point. And then sometimes with other artists, they just throw a cover together and it doesn't really, you know, connect. Like it's not all together sort of thing. It's almost like Mod Podge in a way.
Makes sense. I know we're not supposed to talk about him, but I mean, he was one of the biggest artists of the 90s, but was Marilyn Manson like any of an inspiration at all on his aesthetic? I know we're not supposed to talk about him, but he was a big thing back in the 90s.
Fuck that. I will talk about Marilyn Manson. I don't give a shit.
Sure.
You know, his music and the person that he is are, to me, are two different things. I can appreciate his music and not appreciate what he did.
Agreed. I agree.
You know, yeah, obviously, like growing up in the, you know, especially getting the endorsement of Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails and pretty much getting him to have a career, and him being in the forefront, definitely with pop culture, Reznor producing the Antichrist Superstar album, and that artwork too, like that definitely had an influence on me. But it was more subdued influence with Marilyn Manson. I was just more like, things are happening, and you know, I was kind of more into Korn and then Limp Bizkit and more of the new metal, and then, you know, learning about Machine Head, getting into Pantera, Sepultura, kind of rediscovering kind of the older bands that I missed growing up.
Yep.
Sort of thing. So
no, that makes sense. Yeah, I know people get mad when he's talked about nowadays, but rightfully so, but just had to ask about that. Holly, anything else you want to go over on that before moving to the next question?
No, it's all good.
All yours.
Cool. Thank you. So, which question are we on? Oh, there we go. With your art, is it like a sort of subconscious thing? So whilst you're writing music, you start to get like the ideas for the visual elements at the same time, or is it kind of like a, you focus on the music and then maybe do the artwork afterwards as like a separate step, if that makes sense?
No, it kind of depends. So like, so what I do and what I've been doing for the past 5 or 6 years or whatever, I just have archives that I just create. So like I'll see something interesting, I'll shoot some video of it, take some photos with my DSLR or the iPhone or whatever, because it's pretty high quality as far as photography is going, or at least for my need. And then, you know, I have my RIF archive that I've been putting together since, I don't know, 2008. So it's like, I'll have things there. And if I'm working on something, I'll like hit a wall and then I'll kind of go through those archives. And it's like, is there anything in here that can get me to the next part or, you know, the next step along the way to kind of keep putting things together. But as far as visually, like graphics and photography, it definitely helps. Like I had been, when I was driving cross country recently, I had been working on musical ideas in my head and like revisiting voice memo recordings while just driving and stuff like that. And then, you know, taking photos and video along the way and then checking all that out once I kind of settled in LA, it like really pushed a lot of these songs to kind of, you know, more visualized ideas or completed ideas. So that would have normally been on the back burner probably for like another couple of years.
So I think we kind of know the answer to that question, but Holly wrote it, so I'm going to ask it anyway. So, I mean, you kind of already went over it, but I have my own opinions on this, but let's talk about this for a few minutes here about visualizers and videos. Like, if you think they're necessary for bands, like, I want to hear your opinion first and then we can talk this out.
I would say objectively everything, any sort of media you can create and have like visually, especially visually, I think that's all important. It's just,
fair.
I think it's more about how you implement it and what you're trying to do. Like I've been working on, like I've been filming, or before I left New York, I was filming scenes for like a multimedia film I'm working on. It's called Stimuli, and it's going to be coming out sometime in 2023. So out of just the footage I have, and I still have to shoot more and compile more and everything like that, I could probably squeeze out like 200 pieces of like 10 second content and then use different pieces of music and use that, you know. But I think also mixing it up between, you know, visualizers and lyric videos, those are cool. I've done visualizers for Volume 3 and Volume 4 as part of, you know, PR campaign, kind of market the songs, and this seemed to go pretty well. But, you know, also realizing you can actually repurpose that in a different way and use it, in, you know, to keep promoting. So now what I'm doing is taking the 4K desktop wallpapers I made from the visualizers and turning those into TikTok posts. So it's like, I don't even need to recreate anything. I'm just repurposing it. And through the licensing of DistroKid, my songs are available through TikTok to embed in those posts. So.
Interesting. I want to talk about this for a little bit here because Holly brought up the topic. But first, I want to know what Holly's opinion is on if visuals are necessary. Since you guys are both musicians, I want to hear. I want to hear Holly's opinion.
Yeah, I think something is necessary nowadays because I think it's almost expected, in a way, okay, that if you're a band and you're releasing a song, you're going to have some sort of video with it. I mean, just like on YouTube, you know, video will. Tracks that have just got a still image, a still artwork, never get as many clicks as even just a visualizer.
Sure.
At least not that I've ever noticed or what we've had with Disconnected Souls. So yeah, I think it's kind of expected. And I guess it's kind of so much easier nowadays to do it yourself as well.
Cool. So
yeah, absolutely.
Just to clarify here, like I think I agree with you guys. I think visuals are needed to a point. Now where I get a little bit where I don't like is when people give you crappy visuals.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of people aren't like graphic designers like you and able to like, aren't artistic. So a lot of times like people will hand us over videos that are just like.
Well, like low res or something or.
Well, it's just not very good quality. You know what I mean? Like right. I think if the quality is good or if you're just pumping out a lyric video, for example, just for the sake of having a lyric video, I go, in, but if you're doing something quality, like if you're doing like a high quality visualizer, for example, 100% behind you. If you're doing like some janky lyric video that's just poor for the sake of having a visual, let's talk about it.
But I think that also has to do with effort too. It's like,
true. That's true.
That's like going in and to the studio and just like, yeah, we didn't really rehearse and whatever, true, but we're going to track it and then we're going to push it like it's our best work.
Yeah.
And then, but the same things apply to anything else you do. It's like,
true,
unless you put the work in and are trying to make it the best that you can, you know, even if you can get like 85%, 90%, which is, that's kind of high really, you know, mm-hmm, realistically. It's like that effort kind of goes a long way, whether it's like immediate or just slowly kind of like a slow build, or at least just like, you know, acknowledgement.
You know? No, okay. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Okay, so we're all on the same page on that one. So Holly, did you have anything else you wanted to add on that?
I guess, I don't know, I'd be interested to know, are there any particular sort of styles, whether it's like a visualizer or a full video, that you think are, whether it's more useful or maybe just more appealing in general?
I don't know, like, I feel like that's kind of like an open art form. Like, even if you have like a static image and then you overlay like greens and like different video, or you just cut it up with, you know, weird things or whatever, just to make it kind of like, even just like a flash of light just to break it up a little bit, like that's even kind of cool, you know. Obviously, like when you have like, but it's all dependent really on budget too, like Korn and Meshuggah, they do these visualizers that are like top-notch, incredible pieces of visual art, but not everybody has that sort of budget available to them. So it's like, you know, you got to pay for software, you got to pay for a good computer, and then you need to do the work and maybe get some non-editorial footage that you could use and whatever, you know, or whatever you're getting your source material. So it's like, and then that person's probably also paying for all the studio stuff, so budgets, you know, kind of, I think, hamper things. But, you know, there is a way of doing things where it's not low quality though. But I think it's kind of just a really cool, and it's kind of still a new art form, in my opinion. I mean, really, visualizers have been around for, 10 years maybe?
Something like that, yeah. Not that long.
So it's kind of in its infancy as far as pushing the boundaries and, you know, that sort of thing.
Cool. So just so you guys both know, we got about 9 minutes left. We're on the count, on the clock. So just letting you guys know this. But Holly, over to you.
I guess then, let's kind of carrying on in the same vein. Have you got like any tips or advice for anyone who's maybe like looking to get into doing their own visuals a bit, but like you say, they may be on a bit of a budget or perhaps don't know what they're doing, that sort of thing?
Let's see. I would say the first thing you have to figure out is what your actual budget is and what your ultimate end game is visually. Like, what are you trying to achieve? What do you want it? And how do you want it to be? Like, in your mind, like, how would you see it be perceived, sort of thing? Or how do people want, how do you want people to react to it? Because you can use art for different sort of reactions, you know, to kind of pull people in, to shock people, to piss people off. You know, it's a great way to communicate. But I would start there and then reverse engineer kind of like how to get there. So it's like, okay, we're going to do artwork, but it's also got to work with CD, vinyl, digital. And you know what? We want to repurpose the same artwork for web design. And then we want to repurpose it for video editing. And then I would say learn about different resolutions. Print resolution and screen resolution or video resolution are not the same. You never want to print anything at 72 DPI because it's just a disaster. I would always develop everything at 300 DPI. What I do actually for album artwork, I just set up a Photoshop file and do like photo editing in there, but I set it up at 12 and an eighth by 12 and an eighth, just so it's like vinyl size, and then you can scale it up a little bit for 4K video, or you could size it down for web applications, social media, advertising, etc.
Cool. So Holly, do you have any more questions? Because I got one more if you don't.
I think I've done all mine.
You don't want to ask the important question?
What?
The important question.
The important question.
Oh, that
one. Yeah, that one. I had to like mentally like send that over to you. I was like, is she gonna pick up
one. Or okay. not? Yeah, okay, sure. The most important question. What's your favorite? Yeah, what's your favorite road sign?
My favorite road sign?
Yeah.
I would say when it's like the no U-turn, because I just want to make a U-turn at that point. Oh. Just like, really? I mean, there's no traffic and it's obviously safe to make the U-turn, but being told no, I don't know.
So my question is a bit more of a serious one. I should have probably asked this before Holly did. I don't know. Are you familiar with like Dance with the Dead or no? The band?
Yeah. There was actually. Wait. No, I'm thinking about Dead Can Dance.
Yeah, not Dead Can Dance. Dance with the Dead. Really new. I guess not. If not, my question's not going to make any
sense. I think I ended up. I think they're playing in. No. Okay. That's a different band. Turn Me On Dead.
They're
in LA.
You, but I was going to ask if you were going to try to go in that direction for trying to hit that crowd at some point in the future, but you don't know who I'm talking about, so there's probably no point in asking the question.
No, but I'm interested in checking it out. I mean, like, yeah. I'll never be the guy that's like, oh, I know everything about music and every band. It's like, that's never the case. So you're always learning and always finding out new things, so I'd be more than happy to check that out.
They're similar in style to what you do, sort of, but a little bit more synth wavy, but they got the horror aesthetic. Okay. So I was just wondering if you were going to go into that style of marketing, but you'll have to take a look later.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. All right, Holly, do you have any other final questions for Joey before we end off?
I think we've covered quite a lot. I guess if anyone's interested in your music, where can they find you?
You can visit joeydiabolic.com. It's links to everything. My Spotify, YouTube, Bandcamp. You get to learn a little bit more about me through the bio. I have a page for the box set, kind of goes in a little bit more in depth with what's in it, all the kind of cool features. There's free downloads. If you register your box set, there's a world map of where all the current box sets are, which is kind of cool. It's sprinkled out a little bit. And yeah. Pretty much everything through joeydiabolic.com.
Cool. So before we end off, one final question. What's your favorite food from Britain?
Fish and chips.
Perfect. Is that the correct answer, Holly?
Oh, it's a good answer. I'm happy with that answer.
I didn't even think about that. Okay. Thank you, Joy, for coming on. Apologies for the interview going off the rail. I put rails at play, obviously, because she's always at fault on everything.
No, I had a great time. Thank you.
Cool. So other than that, we are done.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.